Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Petr Nečas has said he would be willing to accept a new flood tax proposed by the finance minister, but only for the period of 1 year. The police are reinforcing traffic patrols in anticipation of the final summer holiday weekend, and the Hydrometeorological Institute has issued flood alerts for the North Bohemian regions of Liberec and Úzky nad Labem. Prime Minister Petr Nečas has said he would be willing to accept a new flood tax proposed by the finance minister, but only for 1 year. He made the statement in an interview for the financial daily Hospodářské noviny on Friday, stressing he's not willing to raise taxes for any longer period. Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek raised the issue following recent flash floods which devastated parts of northern Bohemia. Under his plan, members of the workforce would contribute to a flood relief fund in the form of a 100 crown a month cut in their income tax break. The proposal has been a point of contention between the finance minister and the prime minister in the media since. Petr Nečas told Friday's Hospodářské noviny that Mr. Kalousek had to accept. He was now working under a new prime minister. Previously, Kalousek served in the center-right government of Mirek Topolánek. The Czech police are reinforcing traffic patrols on Friday in anticipation of heavy traffic on the last weekend of the summer holidays. The police have planned some 110 road checks during which they will be focused on drinking and driving, as well as speeding. Officers will also check the technical state of vehicles. The start of the summer holidays in the Czech Republic brought the highest number of road deaths in months. The Hydrometeorological Institute has issued flood alerts for the North Bohemian regions of Liberec and Úzky nad Labem, saying rising water on local rivers could reach level 1 or 2 activity by Friday evening because of continuing rainfall. Level 3 indicates danger or extreme danger due to flooding. Both regions have still to recover from devastating flash floods 3 weeks ago, which caused billions of crowns in damage and claimed several lives. In connection with the latest developments, officials have warned canoeists and rafters to stay off of rivers for the next several days. The flood alerts in the regions of Liberec and Úzky nad Labem will be followed by level 1 warnings on individual rivers in other parts of the country, including western, central and eastern Bohemia, on Friday evening. Personnel were forced to evacuate from the Institute of Organic Chemistry and Biochemistry in Prague's Davice on Friday so that specialists could secure a dangerous chemical on site. A bottle of crystallized peroxide, which had been stored for some time on the premises, was accidentally uncovered during a practice drill by firefighters. Pyrotechnic specialists were then called in and used a remote-controlled robot to contain the highly volatile chemical in an explosion-proof box. A search using a sniffer dog is being conducted to ensure other areas of the building are secure. I'm Jan Wellinger, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, another Czech politician admits to abusing expenses. What's to be done about the problem? We look at what's behind the very thorough change of guard at the Environment Ministry and bring you a roundup of the week's business stories. Later on in the show, you can join Ruth Frankova on a trip to the recently opened gas gallery in the town of Kutná Hora. All that and more coming your way, so please do stay with us. Abuse of MPs' expenses is an ongoing problem on the Czech political scene, and occasionally politicians pay a high price for the malpractice. On Thursday, former Environment Minister Libor Ambrozek admitted he had for years abused the expenses he received as an MP, using them to help finance his new family home. Mr. Ambrozek, who was running for the post of Vice Governor of the South Moravian region, fully admitted his guilt and withdrew his candidacy. Last year, the acting head of the Social Democrats, Bohuslav Sobotka, was embroiled in a similar scandal. Earlier, I spoke to political analyst Jiří Pehe about what's behind the frequent abuse of MPs' expenses.
Well, I think that the problem is systemic. I think that the whole system of payments to deputies in the Czech Republic has been created in such a way that it is basically very difficult for deputies to distinguish between their salaries and various other payments which they get for travel and so on per diem. So I think that the system is wrong, and the question, of course, is why the system is wrong. And I think it's wrong not because the parliament, deputies and senators would not be able to see it, but because it's in their interest to maintain this system, just like the immunity that they have, which is unusually high and strong in the Czech Republic.
So what is the solution then?
Well, I think that the solution would be, if anyone wanted a solution, it would be simple. It would be to separate those two parts, that is, salaries of deputies and other payments, in a clear way, and introduce rules under which the deputies have to show how much they spend, for example, for travel and other expenses, and they would have to return the money they have not used. But the problem is that this is the kind of legislation that is really not in the interest of deputies and senators, so it will be very difficult to change, simply because the current system, I think, although it's often criticized, and although some deputies occasionally, as a result, are punished or criticized, in the end, I think it's in the interest of the members of the parliament.
I believe in Britain they amended the system in the wake of a similar scandal. Is there no way of putting pressure on Czech deputies, on the Czech parliament, to actually change the system in such a way as to introduce controls?
Well, I think that there is perhaps a way to do that. All it takes is at least one party that is not entirely weak, that is a middle-sized party that would take this up as its objective or program. And it seems that in the current situation, perhaps that there could be such a party, and that's the Public Affairs Party, which had anti-corruption measures and also things such as reducing the immunity of members of the parliament in its program. So if this party indeed follows its electoral promises, then perhaps things could move forward. But at this point, it seems that no one is doing anything, and I don't see any major changes soon.
Jiří Behe on abuse of expenses by Czech MPs. Moving on now, in just a few months, the Czech Environment Ministry has gotten rid of a number of officials who had in the past worked for environmental NGOs. The new minister, Civic Democrat Pavel Drobil, who was initially honed for the post of Industry and Trade Minister, said he wanted to steer the ministry away from ideology. But environmental activists are concerned about the consequences of the swipe. Jan Richter has the story.
When Prime Minister Petr Nečas announced his pick for the post of the Environment Minister by the end of June, he took many by surprise. 38-year-old lawyer Pavel Drobil had until then been mostly involved in industrial projects, such as in the construction of the large Hyundai plant in northern Moravia. Mr. Drobil was in fact hoping to become the Industry and Trade Minister in the new centre-right government that stemmed from the last general elections, and said he would breathe for Czech industry. But Prime Minister Nečas said the Environment Ministry was ridden with ideology and had turned into a haven for the green guerrilla. Minister Drobil now seems to be doing everything he can to change that. In one of his first moves after his appointment, Pavel Drobil introduced a dress code for the employees of the ministry, who are no longer allowed to wear T-shirts or sandals to work. A month later, several officials in key ministerial posts were fired. All of them had worked for environmental NGOs before joining the ministry. One of them is Daniel Vondroš, who has been chief advisor to four environment ministers since 2002 and previously worked for the Czech branch of Friends of the Earth. Another is the head of the Sustainable Energy Department at the ministry, Petr Holub. Former spokeswoman and advisor Karolina Šulová, who has been with the ministry for 8 years, has also had to go. Martin Fadrny is a lawyer with the Brno-based NGO Environmental Law Service.
The question of motivation is now crucial for me or from my perspective, because I know that's a kind of media shortcut, but it's known about Minister Drobil that he said that he would breed for Czech industry. So probably he's like mopping up people who were in past too much breathing for environment. It's known that the declared goal is to purify the ministry from ideology, but the fact is that the people who left are not partisan, whereas the people who are like on the new positions are mostly from the Civic Democratic Party, so it's not kind of ideology cleaning.
But things at the ministry began to change earlier than that. The swipe was triggered with the demise of former minister Jan Dusík, who refused in March to approve a controversial modernization project for the Prunéřov coal power plant and stepped down instead. His successor, Rud Bisková, then abolished the entire Department of Climate Protection, whose head, Aleš Kuták, also worked for an NGO. Mr. Fadrny says these changes might have serious implications.
I think if we lost good and motivated experts, we also lost the chance for good environmental legislation, which is pity again for quality of life, for our compliance with European law, and which could also, the issue of non-compliance could have also its economic implications. If you remember the case of Slovakia, where the problem with implementation of Aarhus Convention was a reason why European Commission stopped the EU funds transfer to the Slovakia.
Unlike in neighboring Slovakia, however, the Czech Republic at least still has the Environment Ministry, which the former Slovak government abolished and which the new cabinet in Bratislava is now trying to bring back.
Jan Richter with that report. The National Technical Museum in Prague has a new director. In fact, it has its third new director in the space of a week. Oldřich Rambousek resigned from his post on Thursday, only 7 days after he was given the position by the Ministry of Culture. Now the office has been filled by a new temporary director to oversee the running of the multi-billion crown institution and an audit looking into missing money and exhibits. Christian Falvey has the details.
The original director of the National Technical Museum, Horimir Kubicek, had been in office for 3 years when the new Minister of Culture dismissed him last week, apparently due to accusations of improper management of state funds, i.e. increasing his salary several times over with unwarranted bonuses. The job was then given to the museum's financial director, Oldřich Rambousek. He, however, came to Culture Minister Jiří Beser on Thursday morning, saying he wanted out of what the ministry described as a complicated situation. The museum, he reportedly said, was in a dismal state that the ministry had not rectified in spite of years of requests. And furthermore, Mr. Rambousek said that under the current conditions, he was unable to guarantee that Mr. Kubicek, who still works in the institution, would not continue to hold sway over its management. Minister Beser thanked him and granted his resignation. The daily Mladá Fronta Dnes, however, reports a twist in the tale. It has accused Mr. Rambousek of doing exactly the same thing his former boss was suspected of, enriching himself from the museum's budget. A forensic audit by Ernst & Young is to begin next week, while at the same time an internal audit, overseen by Transparency International, is already underway. Mr. Kubicek has said he is certain that these investigations will prove that their management of the museum's property was more than adequate. For the time being, the ministry has installed Tomáš Weizner, currently the head of its Department of Museums and Galleries, to direct the technical museum until a new director is chosen through selection proceedings. The 102-year-old organization cares for nearly 60,000 technical artifacts, in addition to vast collections of archives, photographs, and designs, all of which is reportedly insured for some 60 billion crowns. Its premises at Letná have been closed for nearly 4 years, however, as it undergoes an expensive multi-phase reconstruction.
My thanks to Christian Falvey there. And now, this being Friday, it's time to bring you a summary of the business news, for which I'm joined by Chris Johnston.
The near 3-year continuous fall in Czech interest rates looks even more likely to end soon, with the main interest rate set by the Czech National Bank now at a record low of 0.75%. As the song goes, the only way is up. But that looks like being sooner than later after Central Bank Board member Kamil Janáček this week said it was certain that the era of record low rates and their reduction had come to an end. He pointed out that it was a question of time how long the country could sustain interest rates which are a quarter of a percentage point lower than those in the Eurozone. He joins hawks on the board who have already made similar comments.
The coalition government looks like it is already stepping back from election pledges to cut costs for employers as it scrambles to fill state coffers. A promise to cut employers' health and social insurance contributions from 2.3% to 1.4% from the start of next year looks like it has been thrown out of the window, according to initial proposals from the Ministry of Labour and Social Affairs. The change would have saved employers around 10 billion crowns. It looks like employers will also be hit for an extra 2 billion crowns thanks to higher sick pay contributions.
It was hailed as a worldwide media revolution, but now looks like it's coming to an end. The future of Czech company PPF's year-old venture into the publishing and media world is now under discussion with a decision seen next week. PPF took local media down a new track when it wheeled out a new concept of papers based on local cafes come editorial offices where the public were invited to come and talk to reporters and help write stories. The Naše adresa, our address concept, was tried in the northwest and southeast of the country. PPF also built a futuristic newsroom in Prague and hosted seminars about how media could evolve with the help of the latest technology.
Central Europe's biggest producer of hard coal and coking coal, New World Resources, has turned a profit in the second quarter of the year, thanks to higher demand and prices. The company, whose fortunes are mostly based on mines in the east of the Czech Republic, made an operating profit of around 129 million euros in the second quarter, following a loss of around 16 million euros in the preceding 3 months. Revenues are up by around a quarter compared with the start of the year. Even so, analysts had been expecting a bigger rebound and the share price fell back sharply.
Construction company Metrostav looks like getting a hole in its finances after a massive crater appeared on the grounds of a government ministry near the centre of Prague in July, where it was tunnelling. Officials from the State Mining Office have started proceedings to fine the company up to 5 million crowns following its third tunnel collapse during work on part of the capital's Ring Road, according to Czech television. The official findings of their probe will not be made public until October. Separate financial penalties could also be levied by Prague City Hall.
You'll find all the business news at radio.cz. A reminder for latecomers that you're with Radio Prague, coming your way from the Czech capital here in Central Europe. Now we're inviting you to join Ruth Frankova on a trip to an art gallery in the town of Kutná Hora.
The building of the Jesuit College was originally meant to house a permanent exhibition, but the new young team, which took over the gallery's management more than a year ago, has different ideas. Ondřej Chrobák is the head curator.
A permanent exhibition of this kind is not attractive enough. Based on our experience from various institutions outside Prague, this kind of exposition wears out within a year or two, and the attendance rate falls rapidly because everyone has already seen it. So we have decided to display the permanent collection only on one-third of the grounds out of the overall 3,000 square meters, and use the rest of the area for temporary exhibitions.
The permanent exhibition is entitled 1-2-3. Instead of presenting the best of the gallery's acquisitions, it focuses on the process of acquiring works of art. Mira Keratová, a host curator from Slovakia, gave me a tour of the exhibition.
This exhibition was done by curator Maria Bergmanová, and she composed this exhibition as a kind of deposit map. She structuralized it according to historical periods when these artworks were bought. Therefore, it's 1-2-3 title, because one part is the artworks which were bought in 60s, the other one during normalization period, and then the third one after 1989, after the Velvet Revolution. So these three islands are showing, of course, certain mood and ideological approach to what was acquisited in those times.
In order to put the Gask collection, which focuses mainly on paintings and plastic art, into the wider context of Central European art, curators have organized an exhibition called Kontakt.
It is the collection of financial group Erste, which some years ago started to collect so-called former Eastern European arts. This collection focuses on art since 60s up till present. It has very nicely articulated conception. It's focusing more or less on conceptual art, and there are certain spheres of interest, let's say. And big part of the artworks in collections are somehow dealing with public issues or political issues, the issues which are somehow relevant because of all these transformation processes this region went through.
Another exhibition is dedicated to the famous Czech cubist painter Emil Filler. Again, the organizers chose a rather unusual approach, and instead of showing his works, they are presenting Filler's extensive archive, mapping the sources of his inspiration. But the most valuable item in Gask, and one of its most recent acquisitions, is a rare 15th century miniature acquired at the end of last year at an auction at Sotheby's in London for over £500,000. Due to its age, it will only be on display for a limited space of time.
This is the illumination which was never publicly exposed before, and it's known just through the reproductions from 20s, because somehow it was in a private collection. And it's illumination which is showing the acquiring and handling of silver in the town of Kutná Hora, which is famous by the silver production of coins and so on. And it's very special because of very detailedly showing all the procedure and because of its artistic mastery.
The Jesuit College, standing right next to the famous Gothic Cathedral of St. Barbara, served as army barracks in the 1980s and had to undergo a major reconstruction that took more than 10 years. Apart from the exhibition halls, there is a museum store, a children's corner, and a beautiful lecturing center, all done by young Czech architects. In the future, there will also be a garden and a cafe, head curator Ondřej Chrobák.
We want to be as open to the public as possible and create a museum where you can spend a pleasant time, which can be intellectually demanding, but at the same time you don't have a feeling that it is something really serious. We want to equalize different forms of art. Last year, for example, we organized a creepy teepee festival to show people that indie music and serious art, such as cubist painting, are not two separate worlds, but one world of culture.
Nejsou nějaký dva světy, ale jeden prostě svět toho té kultury.
Takže tohle může takhle vyset? Co to říká? Jo,
nejsou dobře.
No, my všichni přesli.
One of the central points of the newly opened gallery is the lecturing center. On the day of my visit, it is full of children from a local primary school who come here regularly to work on their art projects. To make the collections comprehensible to the broad public, Gask offers a wide range of accompanying programs. Ondřej Horák is in charge of the lecturing center.
I don't really like traditional galleries. What we are trying to do here is set the institution in motion and show it in a different light. We created a mobile project called Gask Tour and visited around 25 towns in the central Bohemian region in a London double-decker bus with a programme for high schools. It was very well received, and in June the Gask Tour will culminate with an event in which 30 high schools will compete for a prize designed by a contemporary Czech designer.
In the weeks to come, Gusk will be hosting its second indie music festival, Creepy Teepee, and a summer camp for children entitled Artek, which takes its name from a former international youth camp in the Soviet Union. In early autumn, it will present a collection of student works from European art schools called Start Point. In short, Gusk promises to bring more life and colour into the picturesque but sleepy town of Kutná Hora.
That edition of The Arts with Ruth Frankova was first aired in June of this year, and I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. You will find all our programs in text and sound on radio.cz, plus a lot of interesting information about the Czech Republic. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today, and take care.